sermon you can see on the PowerPoint titled The Grandest Night of Them All. And reading this verse, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. There are many nights mentioned in the Bible, many incredible nights, some of them full of tragedy, and some of them full of wonder and great hope. It was a great night when God sent His death angel down into Egypt. It meant tragedy for the Egyptians, but for the firstborn of every home, in the home of the Israelis, of the Jews, who applied the blood of the Lamb above their door and beside their door, it meant that they were spared death and that they were saved by the blood of that lamb at that time that was killed for the sake of saving the firstborn of all those there. And thank God it's been the blood of the Lamb of God that saves us. Amen. It was a great night when Jacob slept beneath the stars. I used to love to hear that story when I was in Sunday school. Jacob sleeping beneath the stars and dreaming of a ladder reaching up to heaven with the angels ascending and descending upon that ladder. What an incredible dream that was. It was a great night. It was a great night when Belshazzar feasted in the palace and he saw the handwriting on the wall and it says, "You are weighed in the balances and you have been found wanting." And that night, Belshazzar met his death. A great tragedy. It was a great night when Daniel spent the night in the lion's den, totally protected by the mighty hand of God. What a night that would be. It was a great night when Nicodemus came to Jesus. He came to Jesus and Jesus uttered that great eternal truth to him. Jesus said, "You must be born again." That's still true today, isn't it? We must be born again. It was a great night when Jesus praying that prayer in Gethsemane, saying, "Not my will, but thy will be done." It was a great night when Paul and his companions were shipwrecked and God saved all of them that were aboard that ship. But the greatest and the grandest night of them all, of all the years, was the night that Jesus was born. He was born to be our Savior. He was born to die for our sins. He was born to save us, so to speak. Born that we might, you and I might be born again, that we might be reborn. He was born for one purpose, so that we could come home to heaven to be with Him and our Heavenly Father. Think about it in the Christmas story as the day wears away and the sun goes down and as night comes on, we can see a man approaching the little town of Bethlehem. He's leading a donkey, and on that donkey sits a young woman. The man is Joseph, and the woman is his wife, Mary. These two people are keepers of an incredible secret. Some months before this time, the angel had appeared to Mary and told her that she would bear a child and that God would be the father of this child and that she would be the mother. God wanted His Son to come into the world and go through all the experiences of man and finally die for our sins. This was His way, God's way, of getting His Son into the world. He was to be born of a virgin and raised as any normal child. And the Bible tells us that Mary was puzzled. The angel gave her this news and she never had any marital relations. And so she asked this question, how can this be? How can this be? And the angel told her that God would take care of everything. I want to tell you, there's moments, maybe some of you are going through moments or seasons in your life right now, and you're asking yourself, how can this be? How can these things be such in my life? I want to remind you that God's in control. God is still in control. He's going to take care of everything. Just keep trusting in Him. Well, Mary bowed her head and according to the Bible, she said, "I am the handmaiden of the Lord. Be it unto me according to thy word." Then the angel went to Joseph and told him, he said, "Now Mary's going to bear a son. His name will be called Jesus. Go ahead and marry her, for the child that she will bear will be born through the power of the Holy Spirit. Your woman, your wife, Mary, is a righteous woman. She is with child, but it is through the power of the Holy Spirit. Joseph, don't put her away. Don't hide her. It's okay. You can marry her. Now we see Joseph going from one end to another, and every place is crowded. For it's time for the taxing of the people, and the multitudes have all gathered in this little town of Bethlehem. And finally, as we know, Joseph finds a place for he and his wife and the soon-to-be-born baby. It's in a stable, a place for animals. Mary's time had come, and that night, in a stable, Jesus was born. While the cattle munched their hay, and while the stars shone down upon that stable that night, while the angels sang glory to God in the highest, the Son of God came into the world. What an incredible story. What a night it was. It was a night which meant more to us and to mankind and all of creation than any other night. That night that Jesus was born into this world. So we begin with this first question. When was Jesus born? And the Bible tells us very clearly in the book of Galatians, when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son. So folks will say, well, why didn't He come 100 years earlier? Or why didn't Jesus come maybe 100 years later? It was because I know that God had a program for the world. He knew exactly what the perfect fullness of time would be. And remember, God is never late. He's always on time. And He sent His Son when it was the best time for Jesus to come into the world. So let's look at some of the details regarding this fullness of time, so to speak. God's promises begin to give us a wonderful clue about the fullness of time. It all had started, you think about it, those promises of God, it started in the Garden of Eden because man had fallen into sin. The human race was in utter ruin because the serpent had been used to deceive man. Because of that, you may recall in Genesis that God pronounced a curse upon him, saying that the seed of the woman, that's key, would bruise the head of the serpent. In other words, Christ, the seed of the woman, Christ, would someday crush Satan. And a little baby was born of a virgin. Man had nothing to do with it. And that baby would grow up and crush Satan one day, and one day cast him away in the lake of fire for all of eternity. Also in the Bible, we see that Abraham came, and God told him that through his descendants, He says, Abraham, through all your descendants, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. And Jesus came through that line, that lineage of Abraham. Jesus was the one designated to bless all the nations. True to the promise, history shows that He did exactly that. And He's still doing that today. When David sang a song of a great king whose name would endure forever, that name of that great king, Jesus, has been used for 2,000 years, and that precious name of Jesus will endure for eternity. In Isaiah said His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. These names of Christ that Isaiah makes reference to denote His offices. He's fulfilled every one of these offices. He is Wonderful. He is our Counselor even today. He is our Mighty God. He is the Everlasting Father. He is indeed the Prince of Peace. The peace that we feel in our hearts today. We're told that Jesus would come, according to prophecy, He would come from the tribe of Judah and the line of David, and that He would be born in Bethlehem. And every detail of that Old Testament prophecies was fulfilled in Jesus Christ. So as we look at this question, when did Jesus come? When did He come? When was He born? We've looked at the promises. Let's look at a very important second point today, and that is the Jews made their contribution to this fullness of time. That expression that we've just read, when the fullness of time had come, the Jews did their part. You recall the Jews were covenant people. God had revealed His secrets to them. All the prophets that we looked at in the Old Testament were Jewish, and the Jews looked for a Messiah, but He still hadn't come. Darkness settled about them. And we must remember that it's always darkest just before the dawn. It's always darkest just before the promise is revealed. It's always darkest just before God comes through and meets that need. And in that darkness, it was then time for the messianic hopes of all the Jews to be fulfilled that night in Bethlehem. It was time for Jesus to come. Another important factor is the Greeks made their contribution to the fullness of time. You say, well, Pastor, how would they have any part of that? Alexander the Great had conquered the known world, and the Greek language had spread far. Nearly every nation at the time that Christ was born understood the Greek language. And what had been an incredible language barrier, in many parts of the world, that language barrier had been broken. Men could now go everywhere under that common language of Greek and share the good news and tell the story of Jesus. And finally, another important factor is that the Romans made a contribution to this ideal of the fullness of time. They had crushed warring nations. And really, around the known world at that time, there was relative peace on earth. And in addition, the Romans had built magnificent roads and highways. Roads and highways that later, the missionaries carrying the good news of Jesus Christ would travel on. And also, the ships that the Romans had perfected were able to sail all the known seas so that a Paul or a Barnabas might carry the gospel to the far lands. So all these events together had created this expression of the fullness of time had surely come. It was time for Jesus to be born. The long waiting was over, and Christ the Savior was born. So let's take another look at a couple of groups that participated in the event that night that Christ was born. It begins then with the angels. The angels we've made reference to, so many scriptures that we've read last night and today make reference to the angels appearing. The angels play such a beautiful role in the Christmas story. The image of the angel appearing to Mary, the story, the words that we read, Gabriel was the angel. Gabriel was the one that was chosen to come down and to tell Mary that she was going to give birth to the Son of God. An unnamed angel gave the news to Joseph. Now, can you just imagine being in heaven and on the night that Christ's birth? Can't you imagine that every angel in heaven cried out to God and said, "Let me go. Let me go be among those that tell the good news and give that first Noel. Father, let me be the one to declare this wonderful event. Let me be part of that group of heaven's choir that's in the sky singing, and shining before the shepherds. Oh, let me be a part of telling it." Don't you know every angel in heaven wanted to be a part of that glorious night? So the Bible tells us that one angel came and told the shepherds. And the Bible tells us that suddenly the heavens then were filled with angels, and they sang the great chorus, "Peace on earth, goodwill to men." The choir of angels, can you imagine? It must have been the most beautiful, sweetest music ever touched human heart. It must have been the most incredible, melodious, harmonic sound that man has ever heard. Here's a wonderful thing. God also made angels to minister to His children. That classic painting you see of that angel watching over those children. In fact, we have one here in the church office, in Sherry's office. Psalm 34:7 says, "The angel of the Lord encamps around about them that fear him and delivers them. Now, did you hear that? Let me read it one more time because this is for you today. The angel of the Lord encamps round about them that fear him and delivers them. That's Psalm 34 and verse 7. An angel strengthened and ministered to Jesus after the temptation and after the prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane. When he was in the tomb, an angel rolled away the stone, according to the Bible. When he ascended into heaven, the Bible says that two angels stood by and reminded all that Christ is coming back for us, that he's coming again. And when Jesus does come, he will be surrounded by all of his holy angels. And we'll be part of that group. We come back with Christ. The Bible tells us that the angels in heaven rejoice when a sinner is saved. When a man or a woman, a boy or a girl, when they reach up in faith and they ask the Lord Jesus to forgive them of their sins and to come into their heart, and they put their trust in him as the Son of God, as our Savior. Well, that experience that we would call trusting in Christ, being born again, that experience causes the angels of heaven to rejoice over just one individual that says, Jesus, I believe in you. I put my hope and my trust in you. Well, the second group of folks that had a part of that event that night were the shepherds. And on that night, mighty Caesar was asleep. Think about it. That night, the mighty Caesar was asleep in his golden canopied bed. And no one came to tell Caesar that the Savior had been born. That night, the high priest was in his palace in Jerusalem. But no angel came to him declaring, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. No, God's angel never appeared before the famous, before the rich, before the powerful, or before the educated. God's angel appeared to poor shepherds who were keeping watch over the flocks by night. I love this image of the shepherds out at night watching over their flocks. Jesus loves the poor and the lowly and the humble and the broken. He was so approachable. Jesus was so approachable, so meek and so lowly that the poorest and the vilest of the earth came to him with assurance. And today, he still welcomes all that would come to him. He still welcomes all that would reach out in faith to him, no matter what the condition of their life may be. You know, so often we give up on folks. We give up on people. A drunk is lying in the gutter. We're saying he's just a drunk. He's always been a drunk. He'll always be a drunk. And we turn our back on him. But Jesus comes along. And Jesus kneels down beside that drunk. And he whispers, he says, there's still hope for you. I love you. There's a way out of this for you. Let me help you. And by that faithful, faithful reaching out of our Savior, so many folks still hear the call and feel that call upon their heart and their spirit. And they say, yes, Jesus, I need you. Help me. And he is so faithful. The Bible tells us that Jesus said, he that comes to me, I will in no way cast out. Oh, think about it. Jesus' arms are always open wide. He is always saying to us, come unto me. When anyone comes to Christ, be it king or be it a slave, be it rich or poor, they must first come to him as a lost, poor sinner, trusting only in Jesus for their salvation. The sinner must make that declaration, nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Are you still clinging to that cross today? Are you still clinging to that cross, that place of redemption, that place of salvation, that place of sacrifice that Christ gave for us? Notice that there's no record, by the way, when you read the Bible story of the birth of Christ. There's no record or any mention of the shepherds ever saying, "Oh, what a weird event, what a strange thing. I wonder what's going on." It's almost as if they knew immediately as the Lord appeared to them, and they simply said, "Let us go. Let us grow right now and see this thing which God has brought to pass." They responded immediately in faith that God was in this thing and we must go find it and be blessed by it. What wonderful faith they had. They just believed what God said. We need a little bit more than that in our lives, don't we? Sometimes we just need to believe what God has said. Sometimes we need to just take His word and read it and say, "I'm going to believe what God has said because God has said it. It's for my life. It's for me. I am trusting what He has said." So the Bible says they went to see baby Jesus, and when they did, they worshiped Him. Can't you see them gathering? I love that image of the shepherds gathering around the Christ child, the light of Christ there. I'm sure as they left their flocks out on the hills that night that God was watching over their flocks for them. As they came to worship Christ, not one lamb, I believe, was seized by a wolf while those shepherds were gone. Next, we note that the shepherds then spread the good news, the glad tidings of great joy according to the Scripture. The world needs this message today more than ever. The world needs the message of the good news of Jesus Christ. The glad tidings of great joy. The world needs it more than ever. Now, can you imagine these shepherds after this night, this incredible event? Can you imagine them going home, waking up their wives and their children saying, "You're not going to believe this. An angel appeared to me in the skies, and we were led to this stable, and there we found the Messiah. We found the Savior. God's own angels appeared to us. The sky was full of angels. And then we saw a little baby named Jesus. It was born to take away the sins of the world. It's the best news the world has ever had." Can you imagine how excited that shepherd would have been to say that to his family? There's so many religious leaders that object to the Christmas story. There's many churches that try to minimize the Christian story. They don't want to talk about the virgin birth. Do you realize there are many leaders in churches today that do not believe literally in the virgin birth? They think it's symbolic. They don't believe in the actual miracles that occurred that night. But I just want to remind all of us this morning that it takes an old-time Bible-based gospel message to reach people and to help people. Modernism and liberalism offer no salvation from sin. It can't save a drunken bum. It cannot turn a sinner into a saint. It can't take a broken heart and heal it and bring it the joy and hope that it needs. When a person comes to the end of their way, there's only one thing that can give that individual hope, and that is faith in Jesus Christ. It's in that old-time gospel message of an old-fashioned Savior that gave His life because of His love for you and for me. So, in conclusion, this Christmas day, this Christmas morning, what have we seen? We've seen a man and a woman, Mary and Joseph, completely surrendered to God's will. We've seen a waiting world ready for His coming. We've seen a tiny baby in a manger, lying there in a manger in a stable, God's Son come to earth in the flesh. We've seen angels singing in heaven announcing the birth of our Savior. We've seen humble shepherds finding Jesus and telling everyone what they've seen. So let me ask you today, have you found Jesus? Is He your Savior? He was born in a stable for you. He lived in a cold, sinful, hostile world for you. He died on a cruel Roman cross for you. Open up your heart to Him today. Open up your heart completely to the Savior.
You can never repay Him for what He's done for you. So incredible is His love for you. He just asks us to do one thing. Believe in Him. Believe in who He is. Open your heart to Him. Ask Him to forgive you of your sins. And live for Him every day in such a way that when you come to the end of this life, you can hear Him saying, "Well done. Oh, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've trusted in Me. You've believed in Me as the Son of God. You put your hope and your trust and your faith in Me." And He will never let us down. Oh, the Bible says He'll never leave us or forsake us. He's with us always. What great hope we have. Would you bow your heads with me this morning? Thank You, Father. Thank You for the hope of our Savior. Oh, thank You for the beautiful simplicity of the Christmas story, of the good news of who Christ is and what He has done for us. Father, thank You for the ministry of the Holy Spirit that touches hearts even today, that reminds us of the eternal truths and reminds us each of our need of our Savior and that how much our Father in heaven loves us. I thank You for that simple, beautiful message. God, let it be true in all of our hearts in this place. Let no individual leave this church today without that sense of wonderful peace and joy that Christ can give us. Father, reach down and by Your mighty Holy Spirit, give healing to broken hearts. God, give hope to those that are in a dark and troubling time and place. Give love to those that feel so lonely in need of love. Meet every need, Jesus, by Your power and by Your grace. And we thank You today, this day, Your birthday, for coming to save us from our sins. Thank You, Jesus. We praise Your name. Amen.